te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. We're starting from text 25, which has no purport. There's a text 33 has a purport, so I'll just read the verses up to text 33, then we'll chant 33 together. So, text 25. Lord Shiva, his good sense taken away by the woman because of lusty desire to enjoy with her, became so mad for her that even in the presence of Bhavani, he did not hesitate to approach her. Text 26. The beautiful woman was already naked, and when she saw Lord Shiva coming toward her, she became extremely bashful. Thus, she kept smiling, but she hid herself among the trees and did not stand in one place. Text 27. His senses being agitated, Lord Shiva, victimized by lusty desires, began to follow her, just as a lusty elephant follows a she-elephant. Text 28. After following her with great speed, Lord Shiva caught her by the braid of her hair and dragged her near him. Although she was unwilling, he embraced her with his arms. Text 29 and 30. Being embraced by Lord Shiva like a female elephant embraced by a male, the woman, whose hair was scattered, swirled like a snake. O king, this woman who had large high hips was a woman of yoga maya presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She released herself somehow or other from the fond embrace of Lord Shiva's arms and ran away. Text 31. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully, and who had taken the form of Mohini. Oh, okay, it's this one that has the purport. So we should chant this one together. Tasya sau padavim rudro vishno abhuta karmanaha pratyapadyata kamena Vaireneva Vinirjitaha Tasyasa Padavim Rudra Vishnu Adbhuta Karmanaha Pratyapadyata Kamena Vaireneva Vinirjitaha Tasya sa padavim rudra Vishnu adbhuta karmanaha Pratyapadyata kamena Vaireneva vinirjitaha Tasya sa padavim rudra Vishnu Adhuta Kamanaha tatapadyatakamena vaineva vinirjitaha. Tasya sa padavim rudro Vishnuad Bhuta Karmana Patapadyata Kamena Vairine Vavinir Jitaha Tasya sa padavim rudro Vishnuad Bhuta Karmana Patapadyata Kamena Vairaneva Vinirjitaha Tasya Sa Padavim Rudro Vishnurad Bhuta Karmana Padyapadyata Kamena Vairaneva Vinirjitaha Tasya sa padavim rudro Vishnurad Bhuta Karmana Pratyapadyata Kamena Vairaneva Vinirjitaha Tasya sa padavim rudro Snarad Bhuta Karmanaha Patyapadyata Kamena Ayaneva Vinirjita. Vaishnavis, Tasya Sa Padavim Rudra Vishnurad Bhuta Karmana Padyapadyata Kamena Raineva Vinirjitaha Tasya Sa Padavim Rudra Vishnurad Bhuta Karmana Patapadyata Kamena Vaineva Vinirjitaha. Tasya Sa Padavim Rudra Vishnurad Bhuta Karmana Pratyapadyata Kamena Vaineva Vinirjitaha. Tasya Sa Padavim Rudra Vishnurad Karmana Pratyapadyata Kamena Vairaneva Vinirjitaha. Tasya, of He who is the Supreme Lord. Asau, Lord Shiva. Padavim, the place. Rudraha, Lord Shiva. Vishnuho, of Lord Vishnu. Adbhuta Karmanaha, of He who acts very wonderfully. Pratyapadyata, began to follow. Kamena, by lusty desire. Vairana Iva, as if by an enemy. Vinirjitaha, being harassed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully, and who had taken the form of Mohini. Please repeat, as if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires. Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully, and who had taken the form of Mohini. Purport. Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. Parashi Shaktir Vividai Vashuyite Swabhaviki Jnana Balakriya Chas Shretashvatara Upanishad 6-8. The Supreme Lord has various potencies by which he can act very efficiently. To do anything expertly, he doesn't even need to contemplate. Since Lord Shiva was being harassed by the woman, it is to be understood that this was being done not by a woman, but by Lord Vishnu himself. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Shiva, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, cannot become victimized by Maya in the way that an ordinary jiva, an ordinary conditioned soul can. So this is some special arrangement by the Lord to teach a lesson. As we're going to see in the coming verses, you know, there's a statement that Mohini Murti led Shiva as he was pursuing her by the ashrams of and the residences of different sages. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, citing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that this was done in order to demonstrate this lesson to the sages, that one has to be very careful about these kinds of things, because even somebody who's become very advanced can become victimized and fall down. And also, at the end of this little episode, it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva did not feel ashamed when it was all over and Lord Vishnu had appeared before him. He did not feel ashamed because he had not been victimized in the ordinary way that people are victimized by some lack of strength of will or strength of determination to resist the influence of Maya. He had actually been overcome by the spiritual potency of the Lord himself. And the Lord himself says that also to him, as we'll see in the coming verses. But still a lesson is being taught. So there are other instances where Lord Shiva demonstrates that he is beyond the influence of the material energy. He is beyond the influence of ordinary lust of the kind that a conditioned soul feels. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this, citing a work by the famous Sanskrit poet Kalidas called the Kumara Sambhavan. So, you know, Kalidas was a Sanskrit poet. He wrote famous verses about Shakuntala and the Raghuvamsa, the dynasty of Lord Ram. But one of his poems was about the birth of Kumara, which in this case means Kartikeya, son of Lord Shiva. And it's connected with the story of how Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, committed suicide, burned her body because her father, Daksha, had offended Lord Shiva in a sacrifice he was holding. So Lord Shiva hadn't wanted Sati to go to this sacrifice, knowing that she was going to hear some unpleasant talk about him. But she went in any case, and she, because of hearing these insults to Lord Shiva, she destroyed her own body with mystic fire by the power of her meditation. So then she took birth as the daughter of the Himalaya mountains. And when she was growing up, Narada Muni came and informed her of her identity, and that she would again become the wife of Lord Shiva. Now, at that time, Shiva had gone off into the mountains to perform austerities and meditate. He had taken a vow of celibacy. So, you know, he was off performing his austerities. So everyone was wondering, well, how is he going to become the husband of Parvati, as she was known in this incarnation, the daughter of the Himalayan mountains? Because he's off performing these austerities and complete celibacy. So the father sent Parvati to render service to Lord Shiva when he was performing his austerities in this way. So now she was doing that because as part of his tapasya and penances, there were different rituals he had to perform, and he required, you know, water and kusha grass and flowers and different things. So she was there in his ashram where he was all alone performing his austerities, and she was a very beautiful young girl, and Shiva was not attracted. But there was a further element to the story, namely that the demons had been attacking the demigods, and they were winning the battles. They were led by a demon named Taraka, according to the work. And at they approached Lord Brahma and said, "What can we do?" And Brahma said, "The only thing that will save you is if you get a general, a commander, who would be the son of Lord Shiva and Parvati." So they had to decide, how are we going to get that done? So Indra, the leader of the demigods, called Cupid, Kamadev. And Kamadev approached Indra, and he thought, you know, Indra is often making use of Kamadev when there is some sage or some personality who's performing austerities that looks like he's going to rise and become a rival of Indra. You know, Indra will send Kamadev to distract him, make him fall down, give up his austerities. So at first, Kamadev thought, well, it's just going to be another job like that. But Indra told him, I want you to go to the ashram of Lord Shiva and use all your powers to break his austerities. This girl Parvati is there, and she's very beautiful, but he's kind of maintaining himself in her presence. He's still managing to control himself. But if you go there with all your powers and weapons, then surely you'll be able to destroy his austerities, and he'll marry this girl, and you'll get the son who will become a great general and lead you to victory, lead the demigods in victory over the demons in battle. So Kamadev went there, and you know, he employed all his powers. He was accompanied by Vasant, springtime. So the ashram suddenly became, you know, although it was in a desolate mountain area, cold, windy, everything, it became beautiful, just like a beautiful garden, and, you know, very suitable for lusty desires. And then he was shooting his arrow at Shiva, but Shiva burned him to ashes with his glance. So Srila Prabhupada cites this as an example of how Lord Shiva was Dira, completely controlled, not influenced by the kinds of things that an ordinary person might be influenced by. And he actually describes some of the activities of Srila Prabhupada, actually describes some of the things that Parvati was doing in a kind of a graphic manner that I won't mention here. But in other words, he was sorely tempted, but resisted. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada gives that as an example of how Lord Shiva is not under the influence of Maya like an ordinary person would be. So he'd already demonstrated that. He'd already proved that, you know, before this incident here. So if he was being influenced by a woman in this way, it was not an ordinary woman. It could only have been Lord Vishnu himself in the form of a woman. So there are other individuals, devotees, pure devotees like Haridas Thakur, who have shown their ability to resist these kinds of temptations. On one occasion, Haridas Thakur was approached by an ordinary prostitute who had been sent by an envious Muslim ruler to break his austerities and his celibacy. And she didn't succeed. But on another occasion, Maya herself, the Lord's illusory energy, approached Haridas Thakur when he was meditating on the Hare Krishna mantra in his cave by the Ganges River. And you know, she came for three nights successively trying to tempt him. But he kept giving the excuse, I'm chanting my mantras. I've vowed to chant a certain number of rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra each day, a great number of rounds. And he said, I haven't finished. So she kept coming back. He kept giving the same excuse, coming back. And finally, she asked to become initiated by him in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and he initiated her. So there are these pure devotees of the Lord and these great personalities like Lord Shiva, who is not a jiva. It's stated that he's in his own tattva. There's jiva tattva, which means the individual souls. And then there's Vishnu tattva, the supreme personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is kind of in between. He's his own tattva, Shiva tattva. So he's more than an ordinary jiva soul. And so he had this ability to resist these things. But an ordinary devotee can also become free from these kinds of influences. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita vajantyananya manaso gitva bhutanim avyayam. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that the mahatmas, the devotees, the great souls, they come under the protection of the Lord's spiritual potency. Because they are constantly engaged in the Lord's service. And the Lord is known as Madan Mohan. So Madan, or Madana, is another name for Cupid or Kamadeva. And Mohan means one who bewilders or enchants. So a name for Krishna is Madan Mohan, which means the one who can enchant Krishna. So if one takes shelter of Madan Mohan, one can become free of these influences. So the way that a devotee handles these things is either one remains in a celibate position, or one engages in Krishna-conscious householder life. But even in householder life, there can be temptations. So whether one is in the brahmachari ashram or the householder or grihastha ashram or a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should attempt to take shelter of Madan Mohan. Actually, the first temple I joined, Washington, D.C. temple, the deity there was Madan Mohan. And in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas explained there are three principal deities, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Radha Gopinath. And they represent the different aspects of devotional service. So, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So, Sambandha means understanding one's relationship with Krishna, understanding that I am not this body, I'm a pure spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, I am meant to be the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. So the Madan Mohan deity is associated with this process of Sambandha. So it's the first stage of devotional service. We have to learn how to become attracted to Krishna rather than attracted to Maya. And for that, we worship Madan Mohan. And then the Govinda, Radha Govinda deity, represents Abhidhyaya, which means practical devotional service. Once we become attracted to Krishna, we engage constantly in Krishna's service. So the Radha Govindaji deities in Vrindavan are associated with that process. And then ultimately there's prayojana, the goal of devotional service, to develop prema, pure love for Krishna and an eternal relationship with him. And the deity Radha Gopinath in Vrindavan is associated with that aspect of devotional service. So we want to become free from the influence of Madama, Cupid. So we can do that by engaging constantly in the process of devotional service. And Krishna says that if we do that, then we come under the protection of his divine potency. So there's one further interesting thing about this pastime of Lord Shiva burning Cupid to ashes. And you know, we're here in Rukmini Dwarkadish temple, New Dwarkadam, and Krishna married the princess Rukmini and they had a son named Pradyumna. And in Krishna book and the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that this Pradyumna had some connection with Cupid. The Acharyas explain that this Pradyumna is actually a member of the Chaturvyuha. Lord Narayan exists in four forms: Vasudev, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Sankarshan. And these are Vishnu Tattva expansions of the Lord. So Pradyumna is one of them. But he's also the original Cupid on some higher level. The Cupid that was burned to ashes by Lord Shiva was a demigod who was a subordinate of Indra, the chief of the demigods. And but his original source of his power comes from Pradyumna. So after Cupid, the demigod, was burned to ashes by Lord Shiva, Cupid's wife, Rati, went to Lord Shiva and prayed that somehow or other she could get her husband back. And then there was this demon named Shambhara who was also there, and he prayed to Lord Shiva, "I want Rati as my wife." So Shiva granted that as well. So Rati was very upset. He said, "I don't want to go with him." And Shiva said, "You just go and things will work out. Don't worry." So she went with this demon Shambhara and became like his maidservant. But because she had mystic powers, she was able to fend him off so that, you know, she was never touched by him. So meanwhile, Cupid, who had been burned to ashes, entered into Pradyumna, who was about to be born from Rukmini. So when Rukmini gave birth to this child, Pradyumna, who was connected with Cupid somehow, then this demon Shambhara came, took him, and threw him into the ocean because there had been a prediction that Pradyumna would kill Shambhara. So he didn't want to be killed, so he threw the child, Pradyumna, into the ocean, and he was swallowed by a big fish. And then some fishermen caught the fish. And this is all told in the Krishna book and in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. The fishermen, they caught this huge fish, and it was a very strange fish. So they thought, okay, we should bring it to Shambhara, who was a powerful person in that area. And it was put in the kitchen of Shambhara. He was a demon, eat meat, fish, things like that. So the cooks were cutting it open, and they found a baby in there. So Mayavati was working in the kitchen, you know, so she was the woman who was there, so they gave it to her. And she raised the child, but she was aware that it was actually Cupid, you know, her former husband, you know, who had taken birth again. So she raised the child like a mother, and you know, the child understood, this is my mother. And then, but when he got older, you know, she started manifesting physical attraction towards him. And Pradyumna was a little confused. You know, you've been my mother, and now you're behaving like this with me. And then she explained the whole thing to him, what had happened, who, you know, who he was previously, or partially previously. It's like the Goswamis and Srila Prabhupada explained this, that you know, he wasn't himself actually this demigod, but somehow or other, you know, he was connected with him. So Mayavati explained to him the situation, and then he got into a battle with Shambhara, killed him, and then Pradyumna married this woman, accepted her as his wife, and then they went back to Dwarka. So that's another, but that's just part of this whole episode where Lord Shiva burns Cupid to ashes, showing that he's really not under the influence of Cupid. And similarly, by taking shelter of Krishna in the form of Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, and we can also become freed from such influences. Of course, most people, they don't even understand that there's anything to become free from. They're in total ignorance, and they have no conception of right or wrong in these matters. Then there are those who do understand that there is right and wrong about these kinds of things, but are doing the wrong things deliberately. So we don't want to be in that position. Then there are those who understand there's right and wrong and are trying to do the right thing, but maybe not so successfully. And then there are those who understand right and wrong and are doing the right things and need to maintain themselves in that position, which for certainly initiated disciples of Vaishnav gurus is the position, you know, we find ourselves in. So here we're getting lessons about these things. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.